All right, we're back in the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner, Cole Manbeck is with us via the phone. Cole, during the break, I got to say two things here. One, immediately after I dropped Colt DeFrank as a band idea, I got three text messages telling me it was a solid idea. So people are behind Colt DeFrank being my band name.
Yeah, because they're also in the Cult of Frank. Get people saying that aren't.
No. One was a fellow member of the media that just happened to be driving through town listening to the show. So not all totally biased results there. And then
I want to know what instrument you're going to play.
No, guitar. I said I'll relearn guitar.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I've got the. I mean, I talk for a living. I feel like I could nail down the vocals as well. I mean, if we really want to get into my band career, we could. But I think I could be a vocalist, a lead man. We got Corey here in the building. Used to be the front man, so I could take some lessons from him. The other thing is, Cole, we had a call during the break of somebody that I'm telling you, people are with you thinking, well, hey, Bob Huggins went to West Virginia after just 1 year here at K-State. Why not Brad Underwood from Oklahoma State? So you got some support from the callers, Cole.
All right. I thought it was going to be something bad about what I said, but for my fired-up response about not hiring Underwood last year, so that's a positive.
What about this happening today being a positive thing for the men's basketball team? We actually had someone call and say that, and I think that was a really good diagnosis of the situation because everything that happened on Saturday, losing by 30 to the last place team in the league, turning it around on the media for being critical afterwards, and then the players not showing up to talk, all just got buried. Don't you think this could be a good thing, actually, for them to be able to operate with less scrutiny, criticism, people focusing on it?
Well, I think it certainly is an interesting observation because it takes some of the focus off the basketball program right now, and people are paying attention to the athletic director search and where they're going from there. But in terms now, I mean, I think it clouds the future even more of Bruce Weber. So I don't know if it's really a huge distraction because now your coach's boss is gone. The guy who hired him is gone. And so now you got a coaching staff that's probably even doubting itself more as to whether it'll be back. And I know there's talk if K-State doesn't get a guy in place soon, it might have actually bought Weber another year. I'm not buying that. I think K-State will probably act pretty quickly here, as we talked about with Laird Beach. If that's the guy, then I think it'll be a pretty quick decision what they do with the basketball program. So I don't think it takes a little focus off, you know, for the immediate. But over the next week or so, I mean, after tomorrow night, if K-State loses badly at TCU, I mean, the talk's going to pick right back up about the struggles of the basketball program and Bruce Weber and the coaching staff. And so I don't think it takes too much attention off of that issue. Ultimately, I think it actually, you know, might do the opposite in the fact that you got a coaching staff now that the boss that hired him is now gone.
Cole, K-State is still, you know, just two or three wins away from the NCAA tournament. But assuming that does not happen, at least given what we've seen as of late, how eerily similar is this kind of last hurrah for Bruce Weber here at K-State compared to what things were like at Illinois, even to the point that during that game, during that loss to Oklahoma, you could see the picture from his final season at Illinois losing by the exact same score at Nebraska as K-State did at Oklahoma on Saturday. Just how similar is that?
Oh, it's a mirror image. I mean, they started off 15-3 that season and then finished losing 12 of their last 14 games. And when things went south, they could never rebound. And I think we've seen that kind of as a trend with Bruce Weber's programs, is that, you know, when they start to go on a losing skid, they struggle to bounce back. And that's what we're seeing here at K-State. And look, I've never really thought K-State, you know, I thought they were better, you know, as early on in conference play when they were being competitive in some of those games, especially at KU. But when you look at the overall schedule and the non-conference schedule, it seemed like they were a bit of a mirage and that it wasn't really real. When you look at the grand scheme of things, now they're 17-12. They didn't play anybody in the non-conference schedule. I just don't think that they're that much better from last year. I just don't think improvement has been made significantly in the program. The trajectory of the program has not picked up to the point that you thought it would. And so it's really identical to what happened his last season at Illinois in my mind. I think it's hard to recover at this point and think that a change shouldn't be made. I mean, I can't get over what I saw on Saturday at Norman. That looked like a team to me. I know Bruce Weber said the effort he thought was fine, and I could not disagree more. I thought I saw a team that didn't really look like it cared, and it really bothered me. And, you know, just generally, my biggest issue you don't know what the identity of the program is. And there hasn't been an identity with this basketball program ever since Rodney Magruder, Angel Rodriguez, and, you know, the players that played for Frank Martin left. Because you knew with Frank Martin, Brad Underwood, those guys, their identity was going to be, we're going to play as hard as anybody in the country, and we're going to get after it. We're going to chew your face off each night. And now you watch Kansas State play. There's some games where they don't look like they're playing hard at all. A lack of intensity. It's just, it's infuriating. It's difficult to watch what's happened with the basketball program.
We're talking with Cole Manbeck here on the game. I asked that question to the players that we talked to today. They thought that the effort was fine. There was some admission from them that they perhaps could have played harder. But I think the general consensus was not hitting shots early snowballed. They got frustrated. Then it transfers over to the defensive end somewhat. And so much had been wearing on them for so long that it all just culminated into a perfect storm, really, in the second half of what happened. That I can tell you is basically what their response was. I haven't had time to cut up all the audio. But regardless, what I didn't like the most about all that, I mean, look, you go out there and have a terrible game, lose by 30. That's one thing, and it's not good to have happen at this point in time. But, you know, to me, the thing that I just, and I know it goes back to Wednesday as well, as I try to explain on Wildcat Insider, after losing to Oklahoma State, Bruce Weber did field three or four questions with, by the way, DJ Johnson and Wesley Wundu at the podium at the same time hearing these questions that were, I mean, about criticism, what's happening with the program, the future of the program, why they can't win home games, pointed questions, which I think based on the fan reaction at this point in time, I would defend from a media standpoint and say are absolutely fair to ask. I think that then had an effect on, one, how Bruce Weber tried to turn it around and say that the media was the only reason that people or the only criticism coming is from the media, and then the fact that the players didn't speak. I'd imagine it has its roots in what went on Wednesday, but I just can't figure out a way how that's the right way to handle it. I don't like it from a number of reasons. And one of the biggest ones is that it turned everything into a much bigger story than it had to.
Yeah. No, what it speaks to ultimately, John, is a lack of accountability and leadership in this program. And it starts with Bruce Weber and it goes on down to the players. And, you know, they haven't really, I talked about, you know, what's the identity of this program been since the players from the previous regime left this program in the first couple of years. I would say the same about leadership. I don't think Kansas State's really had a true leader on the court as a player. Because, look, if you're a leader, you know, I know you're gonna, people are going to think, you know, just a media person or former media person complaining about players not showing up to the press conference. Who cares what the players say? And that's really not what it's about. It's about the accountability of showing up and being responsible for what occurred on the court. And leaders usually do that. You go back to the Frank Martin era, and you got Jacob Pullen or other guys, after difficult losses, stepping forward. You got Jacob Pullen saying he's not going to play in the NIT. I knew that drew a little controversy, but look what happened. He followed it up and led with his actions on the court, and the team went on an absolute tear after that. You know, I remember after the game in Colorado in 2011 that K-State lost on a heartbreaker where they waved off a Rodney Magruder buzzer beater. Three at the buzzer that they initially counted went to the monitor, waved it off. Just felt like the season was over at that point. Players showed up after the game, talked to us in the media, and then Big Monday, the next, you know, two nights later, less than 48 hours, they beat Kansas 84-68, and then they go on a tear and win their next five games and get a 5-seed in the NCAA tournament. Look, that's what leaders do. And, you know, leaders don't just, I don't want to talk to the media. And, you know, that's just pouting. And that just shows a lack of accountability. And I think that's the biggest issue, is you just don't have that accountability in the program. And it starts with the head man, like I said, and that's because you have Bruce Weber. He doesn't only lose games. He loses press conferences because of the ridiculous things that he comes out and says at times after the game. Some people say he's just being honest. You can't come out and say the things that he does and make the excuses that he does, because it trickles down to the players and ultimately gives them an out.
Well, Cole, finally to close here, I mean, I've said for a couple of weeks now, it has felt to me like they were going to sneak in the tournament, but yet still have so much fan unrest that you're staring down a really difficult decision. I may now, based on the Oklahoma loss, have backed off that just a bit. I mean, I think now, obviously, it seems like more of an uphill climb to make the tournament. But if that were to happen, what do you think winds up happening future-wise with the program?
Well, look, if they make the NCAA tournament, I could see them keep Bruce Weber. Now, if you want my personal opinion, there's really not a lot that can convince me.
I'm not sure that people are really wondering about that anymore, Cole.
Well, I just want to clear the air on that. If K-State makes the tournament, gets bounced right off the bat in the first round, I mean, I just don't. The direction of the program, it's just not where I would like to see it going. And you know, look, if you look at the roster coming back next year, I put out a tweet on Saturday night. I know you were calling me out on it last night, John, and we could argue about that, but I'd compare the roster coming back for Bob Huggins' first season from Jim Aldridge's last year to being better than what's coming back next year for K-State for a new coach if Bruce Weber isn't retained. And you know, I don't think the roster is in the best of shape going into next year, no matter what, because you're losing Awandu and DJ Johnson, and I'm not sure the guys they have coming in are in a place to really contribute that much next season. So, look, if they make the NCAA tournament, I wouldn't be surprised if he's retained for another season where they have to make the NCAA tournament again next year, which I think is unlikely. And then in that case, you know, making the tournament this year might buy him that one more season. And then if they don't make it in the big dance next year, he would be gone. But again, I just don't think there's enough right now at this point to convince me otherwise that he should return.
Well, Cole, greatly appreciate all the time today. Always appreciate your insight. And we'll be talking with you soon, man. Take care.
Well, you know, sorry about all the negativity, but, you know, just want what's best for the program.
Well, I'm about to watch a YouTube video of puppies and unicorns during the break to bring me back up, Cole.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. There's Cole Manbeck. You can catch the album in stores, Cult of Frank, their debut album, coming out in stores near you, online, iTunes, Spotify, whatever platform you want.
What's the thing that Kanye released his album on? Tidal?
Tidal.
That's what you get. You get Tidal. You don't get iTunes.
Okay. It's a Tidal exclusive, the Cult of Frank.
Okay.
The debut album. Jabroni of the Week is 10 minutes away. When we come back, we just touched on how Bruce Weber reacted media-wise. I thought he handled things much better today. Plus, we got a phone call to take. So, Aaron, hang on through the break, and we'll get to that here on the game.